Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Danny, why don't you cut the bullshit and just start doing your podcast? You ever think about that? Moved all the way up there to New York City, just sitting around jerking your pud. Should be down here in South Georgia in the creek and hunting gators and cooking up some possum. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
So, Johns, the Danny Palmer Show has returned week after week. For some strange reason, the pod recordings continue. And I was actually reading this like long list of ways to improve your podcast today. It's like 100 things. I'm only on like number 30. But a lot of them, I'm like, oh, I think I do that. And then they're like, do an email marketing campaign. Do a call to act. I'm like, dude, I'm not doing an email marketing campaign, dude. Are they like, send a quiz out. Let's start a voicemail that people can leave voicemails for you to play on. And I was like, all right, that's a pretty good, you know what? Some of these ideas are pretty fucking good. But I don't know how to, like, if someone sends me a fucking voicemail, would I just hold the phone up to the microphone and play? I guess that's how it would work. I mean, how do you set up a fucking, I don't want to set all this shit up, dude. Well, then just sit there with your low ratings. Honey, that's so rude. Why are my girlfriend and my southern grandfather here? Also, my grandfathers are from Cleveland, and they're dead. Yeah, dude, the old pod, John kid. Here we go. I have a lot of things to get through this week, actually, so let's just get right to it. I was about to hit pause and just take a breath for a second. No, just going to keep going. Let's see if I can do the whole thing in one breath. I don't want to do that, you know? Sometimes I like to hit stop and like take a sip of water. We'll see how it goes. I got some really nice feedback from my pod listeners. It's funny, you know, like, I'm like, well, this obviously isn't the world's biggest podcast, but do I have the world's best listeners? Ooh, look at Danny ingratiating himself. What do you call that when you go pandering to the listeners? Oh, that's good. I'm a good panderer, dude. The old pan John Sitch. All right. Someone said, I'm listening to my, oh, it was my friend Marissa, listening to the pod on my way to my aunt's house. I'm already dying. I did this, story about, oh wait, this is somebody else. This is a different person. I think Marissa was the one that told me that when she went to visit Auschwitz, there were tourists there playing Pokemon Go, which is insane. She's like, Auschwitz on Thanksgiving. Oh my, I guess you just like listening. It's fraught to read that word in any context, obviously. So I'm sorry, but I'm just reading the feedback that I got about people doing ridiculous things that were inappropriate. So we were insulting them for being disrespectful. That's all that was. Okay. They also said, strangely, I also agree about heroin and have said the same thing. If I'm about to die, I might want to try it. Yeah, let's give it a shot, you know? Maybe this was Lainey. Sorry, I should put people's names by the feedback. I mean, you know, I have a day job, dude. I can't just sit around and be like typing in people's names into my notes on my phone that are kind enough to type out feedback, and obviously I should make that time, and it's rude not to. So as it turns out, I suck, dude. She also went on and said, give yourself some credit. Your pod is short, but it is funny and informative. Thank you, Lainey. I think that's Lainey that said that. Thank you very much. It's very kind of you. I have a couple thoughts about Thanksgiving. My aunt had these maybe my uncle got the napkin. There's no shot. My uncle like went and got some like sick turkey napkins, but they were turkey napkins in the guest bathroom. And I took a picture of them and put it on my Instagram story and with the caption napkin game strong. So that might be the episode of the title of this app, turkey napkins. Oh yeah. That was another thing from that fucking long article I'm still reading. It's like, Google keywords of things that are really popular in society right now, and then tie your episode content and title into those very popular things. And it's like, yeah, you know, I read shit like that, and I'm like, that's just so fucking just desperate. That sounds like something Ryan Seacrest would do. And I'm like, Danny, Ryan Seacrest is wildly wealthy and successful and famous. You're not. What the fuck are you waiting for, pal? Get in the stick. But I feel like when you're kind of chasing like that, there's a level of authenticity that is lost a little bit somehow. But I know I'm wrong. I know you got to find. You can be authentic and still, you know, be strategic about your stuff. I was listening to this podcast today, and this guy that they were playing a clip of, he was talking about Kaizen, which is like the Japanese principle for improvement, like constant improvement. I think it started in the Toyota, was it the TPS, Toyota Production System? Basically, every person across the factory every day is accountable for thinking of small incremental improvements across everything that they do. The car parts themselves, the processes, the assembly lines, everything. And like just applying that concept to your life and saying, when you go to bed at night, what did I learn today? What was the most, you know, here, I wrote it down at the end of the thing. What was the most significant thing that happened to me today? And how will it influence my day tomorrow? And if you take that mindset and that moment of reflection at the end of your day, and then you actually do have that cool thing that you did today, that thing that you learned, have it influence your day tomorrow, then your life becomes progressive. You know, like I learned how to use this travel app that my company got me or whatever, and I'd never really used it. And I found a cool like hotel deal. So now I know that. I know it's small, but, you know, moving forward, I'll know how to do that. So anyways, it's shit like that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can go through this whole thing and not pause. I mean, I guess I can. I'm already 6 minutes in. But what if I want to take a breath? Do you guys mind if I occasionally take a breath? Oh, there we go, Danny. There we go. Yeah, you know, I'm a philosophy major. I love time for self-reflection. You probably do too. If you like this podcast and you're a listener over time, you probably also enjoy self-reflection. You know, I think it's vital. It's vital to have time away from normal life. I said that on Oops, the podcast when I was on last time. I'm like, just having some like music, calm, like sitting in a chair and letting the day wash over you is something I read somewhere. Just having that time at least once or twice a week, it's just so nice, you know? And like, I took the train up to my aunt and uncle's in Westchester. I live in New York, if you don't know that. And then I got off the train and I was waiting for the Uber to get there, and I just like took a little drag off my one hitter, dude. And it was kind of cold, but not too freezing. It was a clear day, it was like dusk, you know, it's probably like 5 o'clock. The moon was out, it was a full moon. I remember being like, oh, it's a full moon on Thanksgiving. This is cool. And it was a little bit cold. I was like, should I just go into like that bar across the street to get warm for a second? And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm just going to stand here, enjoy my little tiny drag of weed. And my friends make fun of me for smoking out of a one-hitter, but fuck them. I like it. Take a little drag of weed, blow the smoke towards the moon, because then you're like in communion with the moon, dude. What's up, moon? Happy Thanksgiving, bro. And the moon's like, dude, thanks for the fucking contact high, brother. But it was just nice, you know, just kind of waiting for something to happen in your life. But in the moment, you're enjoying it. You're living in the along, the day-to-day. It's kind of fun. Okay. Still going. Still haven't hit stop. If I post this on my Instagram, like, hey guys, on today's episode of the pod, I never hit stop once. It's one long successive thing. Do you think like droves of people would tune in, like cars would careen off the highway into bridges, like into the median or the railing, because they'll be like, oh my God, how did someone do that? Is that even possible? I'm like, meanwhile, Howard Stern goes for like an hour and a half some days. So relaxed. Yeah, but you know what? He has people around him to talk to him, okay? He has fucking phone call. I just have me and this mic and just looking at my phone notes, okay? It's a little bit different. Little bit different. Also, I won't do any details. I was debating whether or not to talk about this, but those are probably the best things to talk about on a podcast. Just like you're at Thanksgiving, you're like, you're related to most of the people, but then the people that are dating the people that you're related to, you're not related to them, you know? And obviously you can't like try to hook up with them, but then it's like, that's so firmly ingrained in your mind. Like, do not make any flirtatious gestures or movements. And then it's like, it's almost like this inadvertent porn scenario where you're like, I'm not going to flirt with X person or, you know, my aunt and uncle's friend's wife or something, because that's not going to go well. And then it's like, why? Don't look. I would obviously never do that, but it's just like, it's just funny how life kind of throws like inadvertent porn scenarios at you. I mean, maybe that's partly why all those stepmom porn scenarios are so popular, dude, because it's like that shit, that temptation is there all the time in real life. Oh boy. All right. Next topic. Back to turkey napkins. That's pretty innocuous. Okay. I was at a show last week and I was just noticing how the show has, the audience has like a collective moral temperature thermometer, collective moral standards that they unconsciously agree to and adhere to during the show. And also the crowd has, you know, it's like if someone says something terrible about like talking down to a group, or like just says something mean to an audience member that is unwarranted. It's like nobody likes that. Then the crowd will pull back from the comic, and rightfully so. Like, why are you being an asshole? There's no need to do that. I like that. And I also like that there's just kind of like manners that the audience has. Like, I was at a show and a comic brought up a topic. I know what it was. It was that submersible craft that went down and imploded by the Titanic. Comic in the show brought that up earlier in the show. And then that person left. Another comic went on stage, didn't hear the first comic set, and brought up the submersible again. And in my head, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Should I speak up and say something? Should I tell? Dude, this has already been discussed, and you bringing up the submersible as though it is a topic that has not been previously discussed in the show is clearly wrong. Everybody in the room knows about that being a topic already, except for you. And should I tell the comedian and save them? No, dude, no. And nobody in the audience did either, because it's just rude. It's just, you don't, so what? You know, everybody can kind of like figure out in their head that the comic wasn't in the room for the earlier comics set. And it's fine, you know. He's not going to explain it for 90 minutes. He's going to get to his point eventually, and we can just be patient and wait until he does. Just little things like that I enjoy about society. I enjoy the collective manners, the collective consciousness of society and small groups within society when they form. I love those norms and those just little, you know, group kindness is interesting to me. Okay. Well, I don't want to stop because I want to like do this thing now, but I also want to take a sip of water. So I'm just going to fucking, you know. Oh, wow, you took a sip of water, honey. I'm sure everybody turned it off. You know what? Maybe they will, okay? I can see you're having a hard time pretending to do my raspy voice when you're talking nonstop. Yeah, that's very true. That is very true. Okay, I stopped it for a second. Listen, I had to blow my nose for a second, dude. No, I'm not going to fucking do that on the air, dude. It's weird. Is that when you get cold and it feels like the first week is like the toughest, and then 2 weeks later you're still kind of congested? It's like, dude, come on. Fucking be done, dude. It's enough. You know, some people are blind and have other forms of sensory impairments, and you're complaining about a cold lingering? You're real garbage, Danny. All right, that's fair. That's fair. I do think about that, you know? Anytime you're like, oh, X or Y sucks about my life, and then you see someone with, you know, substantially more challenges in life, no matter what those might be, you know? And it's just like, it just reminds you what a selfish, insular piece of shit you are recording your podcast by yourself in your apartment on a Tuesday. I'm aware. I know what's going on. I'm trying to be nice. Okay, here we go. Keep going, Danny. I watched this piece on, you know what? I was just thinking about this girl that I know. And if I said the name of the show that I saw this on, she'd make fun of me so hard. So I'm not going to say it. But they were doing a segment about Georgian wines, the country of Georgia. Apparently, wine started in the country of Georgia. Did you know that? Did you know that? And they have these like feasts in Georgia that are called supras. They're a traditional Georgian feast and a part of Georgian social culture. There are two types of supras. There is a festive supra called a Kaipi, K-E-I-P-I, and there's also a somber supra, which is called a Kalekhi, K-E-L-E-K-H-I, which is always held after burials. So my only advice for you, if you're in the country of Georgia and you have a choice to attend a supra, definitely do the feast, dude. And at this supra feast that they were doing, they cheers like six to eight times, just being thankful for the good things and like having wine and each other and blah, 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 the harvest. And, you know, it's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool idea. It makes me want to throw a supra. You just have a nice dinner. Everybody's having a great time. And you do like 16 cheers about how great, you know, appreciating the great things in life. That's nice. That's a nice thing. It's a nice fucking thing. Also, a big thing in Georgia is they have amber wines. Did you know that? Didn't know that. Everybody's like, what the fuck is an amber wine? It's like an orange wine. Yeah, there's red, white, and then there's amber. And also there's like apparently like an infinite array of amber wines, which reminded me of the wines in Portugal. The famous Portuguese wines, what are those fucking called, dude? There's like an infinite array of those too. God damn it. I'm not gonna look it up. I don't want to do it right now, okay? We're talking about Georgian wines right now. But the amber wines, it's interesting. They showed how they make them. They take the grapes and they use the skins and the the juice inside the grape, and also the stems. They keep the stems, and they mix them up, and they put them in these big vats, and they put them, like, underground. And I thought it was interesting. I guess the stems contribute to the flavor. And then people are saying, like, what does it taste like in amber? And I guess a lot of people say, like, because it looks more like a white wine than a red wine, people associate it with white more. But this lady on the story said that amber wines are not the mean sisters of whites, but rather the introspective cousins of reds. Oh, I'm going to say that on a date one day. Girl will be like, did that guy just say amber wines are the introspective cousins of reds? Should we fuck at the table? All right, that's my little information about Georgian wines. And now we shift to the Cookie Monster, because I thought this was kind of interesting. He was created in the 1960s by Jim Henson, the creator of the Muppets, obviously, for a General Foods Canada commercial. Did you know that? Did you know that? I thought all the fucking Sesame Street characters were just fucking on the Sesame Street. And then Jim Henson's like, nah, dude, this one's for a commercial. I'm just going to stick them into the fucking show, too. Pretty good. Pretty creative. They were talking about, like, he obviously eventually moved to Sesame Street. And then they try to be funny in this article. They go, where he presumably found a good rent-stabilized apartment. All right, bro. Let's just relax with the fucking, you know, New York City real estate. Because isn't Sesame Street set in, like, Harlem or something? Like, you're trying to act like you're doing a New York City real estate joke for Cookie in your Cookie Monster article, bro. Just stick to the fucking main topic, bro. Come on, dude. But apparently there's all, like, what is in the cookies, which I'd never thought about before. But once I thought about it, I was like, oh, now I kind of do want to know. The recipe for Cookie Monster's cookies, roughly, is pancake mix, puffed rice, grape nuts, and instant coffee, unusual, with water in the mixture. The chocolate chips, this is going to be a little disappointing. Just brace yourself. The chocolate chips are made using hot glue sticks, essentially colored gobs of glue. Huh, he's just eating glue, dude. The cookies do not have oils, fats, or sugars because these would stain Cookie Monster. They're edible, but barely. So that's fun. That's something. That's some new information you can just share. You know, next time you're out on a date and they'll just excuse themselves for the restroom and out of your life for good. Definitely. Oh, yeah. One time my dad came up to New York probably about four or five years after I moved up here and was kind enough to go to a comedy show that I did. It was a Broadway comedy club, which is on like 53rd Street and 9th Avenue. 8th Avenue? 8th, yeah. Anyways, who cares? This woman, I forget her fucking name, but she did this thing where my dad was just politely sitting by himself in the audience. And she did this thing where she pretended that she was stripping, which is kind of hilarious because my parents are pretty conservative Christians. They're very fun and nice, but, you know, they're just not used to like New York City stand-up all the time. So this girl like just takes her sweater. She had like a t-shirt on underneath it or something, but she takes her sweater off, twirls it around her head, and then throws it at my dad. And he just picked up, it's the nicest thing. He picked up the sweater and just folded it nicely and sat down at the table next to him. I was like, you're lucky I don't tell mom about that, pal. You're fucking lucky. You're lucky she'll never listen to this podcast because I say the F word. Oh, dude, this is insane. I love using ChatGPT now. I've said this on the pod before, but I heard someone else in a different podcast, say that they use ChatGPT as like a trusted friend. Like, they obviously don't believe everything it says, but, you know, it does have some wisdom to behold. What's the impart? And so now I've started doing that too. Like, I try to like think of things like more often than I usually would. Is someone having sex in my building? I'm hearing some noises. Anyways, I was texting with this girl. And she was like, "Are you a robot?" And I'm like, I'm not a fucking robot. I'm a fucking human. And so then I was like, oh, what if I had ChatGPT write a poem? I was like, convince this girl that I am a human being and not a robot. And so this is the poem that I wrote. Dude, this poem's pretty insane. Are you ready for this? It goes, in circuits of the heart, emotions flow. Not a robot, but human, don't you know? Feelings pulse like currents, strong and true. I'm not made of metal. I'm made of you. Dude, that is way too intense to convince a lady you are not made of metal. I'm made of you? No, dude, don't say that to a girl. Okay, the poem continues. In binary, our moments intertwine. Don't really understand that. No cold machinery, just warmth divine. Dude, warmth divine. That's actually pretty good. No programmed responses, just words sincere. I'm not a robot. My love is clear. She's like, okay, I am deleting your number and calling the police, and you are clearly not a robot, but you're a lunatic. or you're a lunatic robot. Not sure, but either way, this is done. Okay, and now some health advice. I read this article about walnuts. Tree nuts are rich in healthy fats, protein, and fiber, and studies have found that those who consume them tend to have reduced risks of various types of cancer. See, this podcast is useful, not just weird robot poems. Especially those referring to cancer of, especially those of the digestive system. Walnuts in particular contain exceptionally high levels of plant compounds called allergenins, right? Which are converted by our gut bacteria into metabolites that may reduce cancer's ability to grow and multiply. Dr. John Burke, a gastroenterologist at UConn Health, who has performed colonoscopies for people in clinical trials that investigate the colon health benefits of walnuts, there's trials about walnuts in your ass, dude, said that it was easy to spot a quote-unquote walnut colon. The lining of the colon wall has a healthier appearance, a sort of glistening reflection of the light shining on it from the endoscope, he said. Dude, walnut colons glisten in the light? I literally went and ordered walnuts on Amazon after I read this. I was like, dude, I want a fucking glistening colon. That's sick, dude. Studies suggest that eating about a handful of tree nuts per day is linked with health benefits. Yeah. So just a handful of walnuts every day, then your colon is going to be like the fucking, what's that of the third kind? Like that big spacecraft that came down from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's what your colon's going to look like, dude. I understand that not a lot of people have seen that. I haven't seen the movie. It's an old movie. Who cares, dude? Everybody relax. Okay. All right. Wow. This is 21 minutes. Palmer, this is insane. This is insane. Should we just wrap it at the walnut? Yeah, dude, let's fucking wrap it. 22 minutes is enough, dude. It's just me talking this whole time. This sucks. thank you for listening. Come out to Black Cat LES every Friday night in New York City. If you want to see a great stand-up show hosted by myself, some of the top comics around, we're on... My Instagram is Danny Palmer NYC. I think I just said that. Black Cat Comedy is the Instagram. And you can also get tickets on the Black Cat Comedy site. And the day that this is released, I'll be at East Hill Comedy Club in Brooklyn. So cool over there in Brooklyn, you know. And then December 15th, opening for Giulio Gallerati, the insanely talented and funny comic. That is going to be... December 16th. Saturday, December 16th at the Toronto Theater in Toronto, Canada. I've never been to Toronto. Going to be there. Are people listening to this in Toronto? If you are listening, come to the show. And then I can go up to Julia and be like, dude, I know people here, dude. It's sick. All right. Thanks for listening, you fucking Johns. Go eat some walnuts. See your fucking colon will glisten like the fucking morning dew, kid. Yeah. Thank you, John. Come.